I'd like you to turn, if you would, to John chapter 10, verse 10. And it says in that scripture, the thief comes only to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. When I look at our world today, and maybe even people in this room, you see a lot of that going on, don't you? People who are being stolen from, people who are being killed, maybe physically, but maybe even just morally, maybe emotionally. There's a lot of death going on. People are being destroyed. That's what the thief came for. And when we're born into this world, we are in what the Bible calls the kingdom of darkness. But Jesus, when he came to do something about that situation. He didn't want to leave us in that condition. He says, I came that they might have life. When you ask yourself the question, wonder why Jesus came to the earth? Well, there's a lot of different reasons. The Bible mentions he came to save us from our sin. He came to save us from the wrath of God. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. But one of the other things he mentions here is that I came that they might have life. Now, when this is speaking about life here, it's not just talking about the fact that we're walking around breathing. Every human being that's walking around breathing has a certain kind of life. But the Bible also gives you this picture that you can be alive walking around breathing, but really be dead. How many have ever experienced that in your life? Can I see your hands if you've ever experienced walking around alive but really dead? Well, everybody's hands should be up. Because it's true of all of us. The Bible says we were at one time dead in our trespass and sin. Dead. We were alive, physically, breathing, eating, experiencing this life. But there was a death that was there. And some of us in this room could give a testimony of how their life began to be destroyed. By whatever reason, could be depression, could be drugs. Anybody here ever been delivered from drugs? Can I see your hand? Raise your hand. Could you stand up for a minute? You were at one time captive to drugs and now delivered. And this is what Jesus Christ does. And a life that continues that way is one that brings destruction. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I want you to understand today that Jesus came to give life to people. Amen. Life. Where there is death and where there is destruction and where there is stealing, Jesus came to say, I'm going to do something about it. And he says, I'm going to give them life. And he says that they would have it abundantly. Now, let me tell you something. Sometimes when you hear the word abundantly, people think about money. I don't. I don't think that's his intention here. I think he wants us to experience an abundant life with him, life. That we, even though we're on this world and we live in a world where I was once dead, he wants me to have what he calls an abundant life. It just means something that's overflowing. To me, it's a grief when many, many who know the Lord walk around constantly feeling like they're being destroyed. It's almost like we haven't stepped into that victory that Christ has offered, made possible. And he's looking at the human condition and he's saying, hey, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. I came to give you life and to make it an abundant one. And so I want to really tap into what Jesus Christ has to offer. This is his mission. And we live in a city or a region or a country where this stealing and killing and destroying is still going on all around us. You work with people that are still in that sphere. You go to school with children who are still in that sphere. Your neighbors and maybe your family members are still there. You need to know that Jesus came to do something about it. He doesn't want to leave them in that condition forever. And when I came here today to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I think about how powerful he is, how awesome he is, And I hope that today that somehow through this message, you will get a picture of the awesomeness of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he came to change us. I had a picture up there of just a chain, because it's time for a change in our lives, all of our lives. In Acts, the 10th chapter, verse 38, it describes a little bit more about this work of Jesus Christ when he was on the earth. And it says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now, this happened when he was in the Jordan River. The Bible says he was baptized by John, and then the Holy Spirit came down upon him in the form of a dove. When that happened, he received an anointing. It was a power from God to do his work, an anointing. And he says he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus Christ was a man. He became a man. He was still God. He became a man. But in conjunction with his work as a man, the Holy Spirit joined with him. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit, just like men in the Old Testament were anointed by the Holy Spirit to carry out their task. And so the Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and something else. What is it? It's power. The Holy Spirit and power. Now, you might say, you know what? I have some powerful things that are in my life. I have some powerful struggles. I have some powerful addictions. I have some powerful problems. I have a powerful past that can't seem to get its hands off me. It doesn't really matter to me how powerful you think it is, because he has power that's above that. Can you say amen to that? Amen. His power is greater. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. This is the Greek word dunamis, which we get our word dynamite from that. And there is no power greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we say today, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, that I have received Jesus Christ, that he lives in me, wouldn't you think that his power is there as well? To break us free from whatever it is that maybe tries to tear us down, his power is also available in your life. And so when Jesus came to give us life and make it more abundant, he came with an anointing and with the Holy Spirit and with power. And it says he went about doing good. Everywhere you see Jesus, he was doing good. Sometimes it was healing people. Sometimes it was blessing the children. But it was just, sometimes it was feeding 5,000. Sometimes it was getting your tax money out of the fish's mouth. But he was doing good everywhere he went. And he was healing all who were oppressed by the devil. See, there's an enemy. There is an enemy called the devil who wants to be involved in that process of killing, stealing, and destroying. Jesus came to stop it. He came to put an end to it. He came to fight against it. He said he came to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they could have life. He's directly opposed to whatever Satan wants to do. And so the Bible says he came to do good and to heal all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So we're seeing this clash of two worlds, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. God came to give us life, to heal us, to do good, and to take away this oppression that comes from the devil, because God was with Jesus. Now, I want you to look in Luke chapter 4, verse 17. When Jesus actually came upon the earth and started his ministry, one of the very first things he did is he came down to a synagogue and he opened up a scroll to this prophet of Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah was written several hundred years before Jesus Christ ever walked on the earth. But Isaiah prophesied about a Messiah who would come. The word Messiah means an anointed one. There's an anointed one coming. And the Hebrew people understood this anointed one as the one who would bring deliverance, who would break down oppression, who would set us free, who would give us a new life, a new kingdom. And people were always looking forward to the Messiah. Who is this anointed one that would come? And there was an expectation built around the whole culture of the children of Israel, looking forward to this Messiah. When's he going to come? All the women who were having children wanted to be the one who could bring forth the Messiah because it was going to bring deliverance to all the people, people who were held in bondage for so long, not just to the things of the world, but to Satan himself, just like we were. And so one day, after Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him, he went into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says he came back now in the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the first things he did is he came down to the synagogue and he opens it up. And he says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." And I can imagine when he was reading that, he was basically proclaiming, this is me. He was, in a way, prophesying. This is who this is. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." See, we talked about Jesus being anointed by the Holy Spirit. "He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Now, this word "poor" in the Greek language, which is what this was written in, really doesn't have that much to do with financial well-being as much as the condition of a person's heart. And it's actually defined as the word depressed, depression. Jesus came to bring good news to those who are depressed, who are oppressed, who are beaten down, whose lives are being smothered. He came to bring good news to them. That's part of what his job was when he came as the anointed one, to bring good news to the depressed. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. And I think when he speaks about captives, he's not just talking about people who are in a prison, because we can become captive to all kinds of things. To me, addictions are like holding us captive. We can be captive to a bad memory, a bad circumstance that took place in our life. I mean, how often do you hear today about people who were maybe sexually abused as a child and they walk around still captive by this event, not able to be free? Or you hear of a person who maybe committed a crime and they spent years in prison, and now they come and they try to get their life straightened around, and they carry this weight. They're captive to something that's happened in their past. Jesus came to give us liberty, freedom from this captivity. And he says he also came to give recovering of sight to the blind. And obviously we see stories in the Bible where Jesus actually physically healed a blind person. And that to me is an amazing thing, that you could be there not able to see anything, and then Jesus comes and spits on the ground and makes mud and rubs it in your eye, and you go wash it away in a pool, and all of a sudden you can see. Can you imagine how awesome that would be if you've never seen before, to be able to open your eyes up? This is the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's another blindness that is even, to me, worse, because you can be physically blind and still see. Jesus told the Pharisees that one time. You can be physically blind but still see and understand and comprehend. But you can also see physically but be totally blind spiritually. And so I believe that this Messiah, this anointed one, came to open our eyes. Us who are blind could be able to see again, or see for the first time. And to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And it says all the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him. It's like, wow, he must have said something so powerful. Maybe the conviction with which he spoke. But everybody was watching him, and as he was sitting down, he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled." In other words, he's standing up and proclaiming, "I am this one. I am the one that you've been looking for. I am the one who has come to deliver. I am the one who's come to set you free. I am the one who's come to bring the kingdom of God. I am the Messiah, the one that you've been waiting for all this time. It is me. And you know what they did? They wanted to take him out and stone him or throw him off the edge of a cliff. But this is our Jesus. Well, who are these brokenhearted people? Who are these blind people? Who are these captives? Who are the oppressed? Who are the depressed? Well, all of us here were some part of that at some point in our life. And we live in a world today that's full of people like this. Do we just give up? Or is Jesus still working? Is he still working in our world today? I received a list from a company that was hired to offer search criteria, what people are searching for on the internet. And it was a Christian company, and they were trying to pull together things that people are searching for that Christ might have an answer for. And they did a search for what are people looking for in Alliance. I want to read some of them to you. This is right here in our town. What are people searching for? They took a month, and they just kind of cataloged people's searches. Here's some things. Depression, major depression, manic depression, severe depression, depression at night, how to cope with depression and anger, alcohol and depression, living with depression, dealing with depression, how to fight depression, how to get over depression, battling depression, depression and guilt. Jesus came to set those people free. He came to set them free. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come, he said, that you might have life, an abundant life. Another search. Giving up on life. I don't understand life. I feel lost in life. I have no purpose in life. I regret my life choices. Is there life after death? Life is hard. My life has no meaning. My life is empty. My life sucks. There are regrets in life. Why do I hate my life? Why is life so short? Jesus came that you might have life. Abundant. If these are questions that you have, wonder if you're searching in the right place. He came to set the oppressed free. He came to give us life. Being happy. Being judged. Being lonely. Being loved, being successful, bereavement, best ways to relieve stress, cyberbullying, bullied kid, bullying at work, bullying helpline, bullying hotline, bullying in school, loneliness, alone at night, cure for loneliness, dealing with rejection, cutting yourself, can't stop cutting, dealing with anxiety, dealing with death, dealing with depression, dealing with grief, dealing with guilt, dealing with stress, deep sorrow, deep regret, dealing with loneliness. What are the causes of low self-esteem? Sex addiction. Sex Addicts Anonymous, I am a sex addict, husband addicted to porn, sex addict meaning, can you be addicted to porn? Coping with anxiety, coping with death, coping with depression, coping with fear, coping with guilt. Marriage, keys to a happy marriage, I think my marriage is over, signs of a bad marriage, failing marriage, how do I fix my marriage? Marriage counseling, happy marriage advice. How do I fix a marriage? Marriage struggles. My marriage is falling apart. Help my marriage. Is my marriage over? How to save my marriage? Should I keep fighting for my marriage? Healing a marriage. How to improve my marriage. How can I save my marriage? Help. I need help. Help me. Help me find my purpose. Please help. Help me, Lord. Need help. Relationship help. Self-hate help. Bullying help. Mental health help. Self-help group. Financial help. God, please help me. Help, help. Jesus, help me. God, help us. Prayer to God for help. Social anxiety help. This sounds a lot like the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, doesn't it? This is the world we live in. This is the world maybe some of you live in. Maybe those are things you've searched for in your life at some point, or maybe even last night. But you need to know that Jesus came that you might have life. Life. He is the answer to these things. I mean, somebody finally said, Jesus, help me. That's really where the answer is. He is the one who came. He is the Messiah. He is the one who has the power and the anointing and the Holy Spirit to break every chain. Break every chain. And to come against the work of the enemy to set us free and to give us what is truly life. Now, if you look in Isaiah 61... it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is the part of the scroll that Jesus was reading from when he read on that day. It's Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 3. But I want to read a little bit further. In verse 2, it says, he came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. And it says there, to comfort all who mourn. Jesus can do that. Are you in grief? Are you mourning? Are there things in your life that you're sorrowful about? Are there deep regrets? Are there sorrows? Are these things that we just read about, churning up in your heart and your soul? Jesus came to comfort all who mourn. You know, he didn't just come to save us from our sins. He did that. And thank God for that, because without that, we would be nowhere. But he came to make us whole. Whole. People who have life. Life. Abundant life. He says also to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty or a beautiful headdress or a crown of beauty instead of ashes. I love the word instead, because it means that these people are walking with ashes. Their life has become like ashes, but now instead of that, I'm going to give you a crown of beauty. Wouldn't you exchange that? If you went to the pawn shop and you said, hey, I have this bowl of ashes here. What will you give me for it? He says, I'm going to give you a crown of beauty. How many of you would just cash it in right then? That's what Jesus is saying. And so if you're a Christian, if you're here today, or you're not a Christian, and you're walking around and you feel like your life is nothing but ashes, through maybe your own fault, or maybe the things other people have done to you, I would just want you to know Jesus came to exchange that. To exchange it. He don't want you carrying it around the rest of your life. You shouldn't walk around the rest of your life saying, look at me, woe is me, my life is nothing but ashes. What you should be saying is, my life used to be ashes, but I turned that in and Jesus gave me a crown of beauty instead. That's what his anointing can do. That's what his power can do. That's what he came to do, to destroy the work of the enemy. He says he came to give them the oil of gladness instead of mourning. There's that word again. Some of us walk around with mourning and sadness and grief, and we can't get over it. We just feel like we're depressed. Sometimes we can't even describe why we're depressed. Well, Jesus wants you to turn that in, to get an exchange. Instead of mourning, the oil of gladness. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I want you to know, you may sit here today and say you feel it seems impossible for you that you could ever be different than you are, that you've walked this way for so many years. I want you to know that Jesus is standing here today saying, turn it in. Exchange it. My power is here to set you free, to give you this new thing, to exchange this exchange program, ashes for a crown, oil of gladness for the morning. And then he says, I will give you a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, or the other version says the spirit of heaviness. You know, one of the marks of a Christian person who's been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ is we should be able to stand up and praise him. Praise him. I mean, you go to heaven, if you open up the book of Revelation, you get a little bit of a glimpse of what it's like in heaven. There are literally millions and millions of angels who are more powerful than we are, bowing down before our Lord Jesus Christ, constantly telling him how awesome he is. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I mean, what can they say? You are worthy, O Lord. It just seems sometimes it's difficult for us to lift our voice to this one who set me free, to this one who gave me a beautiful crown, an oil of joy, a garment of praise. I want to praise him. The Bible says here that these people will be called oaks of righteousness. What's that look like? It's an oak tree. If you've ever seen an oak tree, they're strong, they're tall, they're straight, and they're powerful. Very strong type of wood. And he says these people that have had this exchange program are going to be like oak trees. Not like a reed blown in the wind, not like a bowl of ashes, weak and unable to stand up. You're going to be like an oak tree, an oak of righteousness. And he calls it here the planting of the Lord. And all this is so that he may be glorified. It's all for his glory. When I asked you a little while ago, would you stand up if you've ever been delivered from something? And we had some people, that's to the glory of Jesus. Who else can do this? Jesus has set us free from so many things. He gets all the glory for it. He's the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the powerful one. He is the one who came with the Holy Spirit to deal with the work of the enemy. And the enemy has had a place in my life and in your life, in our past. But now Jesus came to set us free. Let's glorify him and tell him how great he is because of what he's done. There are examples in the Bible of people whose lives were changed immediately and miraculously. I'm not going to read about them, but you know, you probably heard the story of Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector and a thief and a robber. In a moment's time, he was changed. He was never the same again. He had a divine encounter. He met Jesus Christ, and he said, just by being in the presence of this Messiah, he said, Lord, I want you to know, if I have stolen anything, I'm going to restore it fourfold, and I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. That was a revolutionary, immediate, miraculous change in the heart of a man who was bound up and held captive by greed. Just one moment with the Lord Jesus Christ changed his life forever. You know, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again today. I'm not putting it down, but I know there's such a push in our world today for long-term therapy around issues we face, and people may need it. I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying, let's let Jesus do his work. Don't let him be the last resort. Maybe he should be the first resort. That a person, you could be a person today addicted to drugs. You could come up here or sit back there. It doesn't matter where you're at. And you could call upon the name of Jesus. And in a moment, in a miraculous moment, immediately be set free. You know, you could be a sex addict and you could be immediately set free in a moment by this divine encounter with Jesus Christ. You could have a marriage that's fallen apart and on the rocks. You could be a person who's crying out for help and not even knowing why. Maybe you're deeply depressed, but in a moment's time, by an encounter with this Messiah, this anointed one, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you can be changed forever. You can stand up a different person. There was a man who was in the tombs. He was a demon-possessed man. People were afraid of him. It says, the Bible says he wore no clothes. Can you imagine this? You go out to the cemetery to put some flowers down. You see this guy running around with no clothes on. There's chains kind of hanging around him because they tried to tie him up, but he seems to have the power to break them off. That would be kind of a scary situation, right? It's like, I'm not sure I want to put these flowers down anymore. And you move on. But Jesus walked up to this man. He says, hey, who are you? And he wasn't talking to the man. He was talking to the demon that was there. And of course, the guy had this conversation. I am legion because we are many. Jesus says, get out of this guy. And he was set free immediately. The Bible says that people came and they saw this man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind. That was an immediate, miraculous change. He didn't go through 15 months of therapy. He didn't have to go to the psychology. He met the Anointed One. He met our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He met the only one who can deliver him and set him free. And in a moment's time, his life was changed forever. I just want to lift up Jesus before you and say, hey, I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you're going through. But we have a Savior and we have a Messiah. The Messiah is the one who came with the anointing to break every chain, every yoke, and to set us free. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone, who here is an anyone? Every hand should be up. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That means brand new. The day that you came and you surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ, he said, I'm making you new today. You're new. And yet we'll get up from that prayer or wherever it was at, and we'll walk around and we'll pick up the ashes again, and we'll scatter them on our forehead, and we'll walk around with all these things not realizing or not being able to somehow tap into what Jesus Christ has done for us. He has made you a new creation. It says the old has passed away. The day I got saved, August 25th, 1974, my old life passed away on that day. I was born again. It was like that was day one for me. Everything was new from that day forward because of what Jesus has done. And because I was new and because you were new, the old has passed away. Jesus can set you free. Are you walking into freedom that Christ has given you? In Romans, the 8th chapter, it tells us that the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. We're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we will talk about how great and how powerful and how mighty that was, and it was. It was like the central focal point of the entire history of mankind, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But he tells us here in the Bible that the same Spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in you. I mean, what else do you need, ladies and gentlemen? What else do we need? I can't get over my depression. Hey, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. I can't overcome this addiction. You don't know how strong it is. The same Spirit, the same one that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. I don't think I can work out my marriage. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Tap into him and find the life that he wants to give. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. I believe it speaks there of the resurrection, but I believe it also speaks to life. Because he says earlier in that chapter, the mind that's on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life. This same Spirit that dwells in me, yes, one day there will be a physical resurrection, but here, there's life here now. He gives life to this mortal body. He says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Well, the last thing I want to say to you is that probably there are some of you here that maybe need to understand these things so you can appropriate what Christ has done. And there's probably some of you here that say, you know, I understand that and I'm walking in it. Praise the Lord. But here's another step for you. We who know and understand have a responsibility to continue his work. In Luke 10, Jesus had his disciples sent out, and he said, when you enter a town and they receive you, eat what's set in front of you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come unto you. In John 14, 12, Jesus said, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Can you hear that for a minute? Take a minute and think about that. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. We're called to do his work. Yeah, we're pointing people to Jesus, but you know, you're also out there showing them the way, praying for them, encouraging them. The works that I do, you shall do. And even, he says, greater works than these. It's hard for me to even fathom that. The works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these will he do because, and Jesus tells us even why that's even possible, because I'm going to the Father. What's that have to do with it? Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do because I'm going to the Father. Well, here's the reason. Who knows what he did when he went to the Father? He sent forth the Holy Spirit. He went to the Father and he sent forth the Holy Spirit. And it happened on the day of Pentecost and it's still happening today. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and he sends us forth on a mission in our community to help people receive what this anointed man of God wants to give us, the anointing of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. We need to point people to what he can do to help set them free. Maybe this week sometime you're going to sit down with your neighbor and they're going to tell you how depressed they are. I hope that you can turn them over to Jesus and say, hey, look what Jesus has done. He came to set you free. And offer them some hope. Offer them a pathway to the Messiah, to the one who can set them free. Lay your hands upon them. Pray for them in the name of Jesus. The works that he does, we will do, and greater than these, because I'm going to the Father. And then finally, in John 20, 21, Jesus said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Jesus is sending us. I would like you to stand with me as we close in prayer.